Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Now we'll continue a series of presidential race call-ins that we began last week. In this series, we're doing short call-ins for supporters of one candidate at a time. So rather than just the typical, you know, who do you support, and it's kind of scattershot, we hope to hear a more concentrated collection of thoughts about why each candidate has appeal. And even more important, what that says about you and us and what people around here and Americans everywhere are looking for our country right now at this fraught time. We did these call-ins for four different candidates last week. Today we'll do two, with the idea of seeing what we hear from two who are often considered similar, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. We'll do Senator Warren first and then Senator Sanders. So that means call in right now if you are leaning toward Elizabeth Warren as of today as your first choice for president in 2020. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433 for Elizabeth Warren supporters right now. What is it about Warren that you think would make her a good president? That's one obvious question. Sometimes they focus so much on the horse race in the media that they don't ask, what would actually make this person a good president? Well, what do you think would make Elizabeth Warren a good president if you're an Elizabeth Warren supporter right now? 212-433-WNYC. What is it about Senator Warren that you think would make her a good candidate against Trump? Everybody's always trying to game out who's the most electable. Do you think it's Warren? And for certain reasons, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And in this case, one subtopic, why Warren more than Sanders in terms of electability or good president, since they're often labeled as in the same progressive lane, that word lane. I'm curious, among other things, to hear if you voted for Sanders in 2016. Why switch this year if you're a Warren supporter? But whatever you want to say at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Elizabeth Warren supporters, why her right now? We know she has a plan for that, as the slogan goes. Are there any specific Elizabeth Warren plans you're especially interested in? 212-433-9692. And while your calls are coming in, we're going to play a clip of Senator Warren. These are just half a minute in each case. Clip of Senator Warren, a clip of Senator Sanders, back to back, on capitalism and socialism, respectively.
I'm a capitalist. Come on. I believe in markets. What I don't believe in is theft. What I don't believe in is cheating. That's where the difference is. I love what markets can do. I love what functioning economies can do. They are what make us rich. They are what create opportunity. But only fair markets. Markets with rules. Markets without rules is about the rich take it all. It's about the powerful get all of it.
What democratic socialism means to me is having in a civilized society the understanding that we can make sure that all of our people live in security and in dignity. Healthcare is a human right. All people should have healthcare. You can't get ahead in this country, in this world, unless you have a decent education. We have got to, as a right, end the kinds of discrimination, the racism and the sexism and the homophobia that exist. So to me, when I talk about democratic socialism, what I talk about are human rights and economic rights.
So there are Sanders and Warren back to back, one saying she's a capitalist, but the markets need to be regulated, Sanders saying he's democratic socialist, and the rest of what he said, though they land in very similar places when you come down to the individual policies. We're doing back-to-back call-ins for supporters of one or the other right now. Senator Warren supporters first at 212-433 WNYC, and in a few minutes we'll flip the script and take Bernie Sanders supporters. But we'll start this with Alexis in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Alexis.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I'm a huge Warren supporter.
Why do you think she'd make a good president?
I think she has all of the effective qualities. I think she's stable. I think she's smart. I think she is prepared, energetic. I really like her economic policies. I think that economic inequality is the biggest problem we're facing right now after climate change. And I think she's actually got plans to address that that make sense.
Any particular economic plan that comes right to mind?
No, I mean, I think her attention to Wall Street and the mm-hmm. corruption and her, you know, unfortunately, I'm not well enough versed in the specifics of her plans
sure.
to address it. But mm-hmm. but I think that needs to be fixed.
May I ask, who'd you vote for if you did in the 2016 Democratic primaries?
Clinton.
And now Clinton to Warren. So last question for you, how do you think she would do, or what makes you think she would be the best candidate to defeat Donald Trump?
You know, I worry a lot about it because I think there's a lot of residual misogyny in the culture, but I think, you know, it's time. I think that she is such a clear alternative to all the craziness that he's introduced into the office that I think, you know, I think the pendulum is ready to swing the other way.
Alexis,
I think she more than Sanders. I think Sanders mm-hmm. is perceived as too volatile just in terms of temperament.
Temperament. Alexis, yeah. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Maggie in Sunnyside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a 32-year-old woman, and I grew up in Kansas. And so instantly when I was learning a little bit about Elizabeth Warren, I was really kind of impacted by her Oklahoma Midwest roots and really the story that I think she's messaged so well across all of her speaking points about wanting to be a teacher and wanting just a shot and the sense of fairness that she seems to have been seeking throughout her entire life that really resonates with me. And I think I did vote for Bernie in the primaries last
mm-hmm,
year,
mm-hmm.
And I was an avid Bernie supporter with the whole distrust in corporate America. But I think the way Elizabeth Warren speaks about the influence of money in politics and just how she kind of speaks to the economic anxiety that I especially feel in the generation of student debt, I just feel like she can tell the story in such a resounding way that has, you know, the plans that make it clear for people to access. It's not as wishy-washy as the promises of all politicians. I feel like she can speak through her ideas and kind of lay them out in a way that is accessible.
You've heard her stump speech, as you say, and probably a lot of Americans haven't yet. I would be very curious if she gets a nomination to see how much that might sway people. The personal parts of her story might sway people toward her in whatever swing vote America exists out there. When they hear her talk about growing up pretty poor in Oklahoma and going to college and loving teaching and her early motherhood experience and also teaching Sunday school and her religious background. I heard her talk at length the other day in one of her stump speeches, riff on Matthew. And she, you know, and Sanders, to make that comparison, not to say I'm not taking a position here between them, but to make that particular comparison, he doesn't have quite that personal story, and she's very relatable. You know, not that he doesn't have a story. He grew up in Brooklyn. He moved to Vermont, and she's got all these things, the Sunday school, the teaching.
And I do think as a white woman with white women voters who might have voted for Trump, I think all of these pieces of her being a special needs teacher and like having those elements of her story at the forefront is such a confident introduction into, I guess, having a little bit of trust in a politician again, because I think that's something a lot of people have lost.
Maggie, thank you very much. Vladimir in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Vladimir.
Oh, yeah. Hi. How are you doing? I wanted to say I am a very strong Lawrence, but that's a slip of the tongue.
were you a Hillary supporter in 2016 in the primaries?
In 2016, yes, of course, yeah, I was. But that's a whole other story. Yeah. What I wanted to say about Warren is that apart from the fact that she's really head and shoulders above all the candidates, I think, for the most part, and I think she's just a deeper thinker about all of the issues that we have, what really settles it for me is that I think she understands race better than Bernie Sanders does. I think Bernie Sanders, when he addresses the questions of race, he'll talk about addressing discrimination, and he lays it out primarily in class terms, which is like a classic socialist kind of approach to it. But I think Warren really understands how fundamental race is to almost every single, you know, facet mm-hmm. of our country, from economics to education to property, et cetera, et cetera. And so that, for me, is what
distinguishes her.
Makes a difference. Yeah.
Vladimir, thank you so much. In a couple of minutes, we're going to play short clips of both Warren and Sanders on reparations. Janet in Little Italy, you're on WNYC. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I'm a supporter of Elizabeth Warren. As the previous one of the previous callers said, she has a believable, relatable, embraceable backstory that just seems candid as opposed to a PR step, although obviously she mentions it because it will be helpful to her. I think her temperament is a huge asset. I think that Bernie's sort of hot responses to things would not be helpful either in the debates or in the campaign in general or for our civilization, mm-hmm. which I do agree with Joe Biden is very much at stake here. I love her optimism along with her fearlessness. I mean, she was very gutsy in saying absolutely impeach. I very much appreciate the clarity and consistency and thoroughness of the plans that she has presented, especially the economic plans, and I think the 2 cents on every dollar above $50 million of income is just, according to the economists who I've read, is actually doable and is very relatable. You know, that's the kind of thing that mm-hmm. a normal, regular, non-economist citizen can absolutely understand. And I think also that there is sort of a smaller benefit to her candidacy, but meaningful, is that there's a teachable moment about Native American culture, mm-hmm. which she stepped in a very awkward but well-meaning way. And I think there is a way to highlight both the vulnerability and the need for cultural sturdiness among our Native American citizens. And I think a ticket with Elizabeth Warren at the top and either Cory Booker or Julian Castro as the vice presidential candidate would be unbeatable.
Are you confident, or how confident are you, that her bringing up Native American culture and Native American needs would be effective in countering what we could expect is Trump's attempt to Pocahontas her to death?
I think she will be asked about it. I don't think this should necessarily be part of her her initial campaign, but I think that he will bring it up, and that provides a moment for a thoughtful, big-hearted, which I believe her to be, person to acknowledge how she got into trouble mm-hmm. and why that also matters in the larger picture of American history.
Janet, thank you. Thank you so much. By the way, here's that Matthew reference that I referred to. This is a quote from an earlier version of the same riff by Elizabeth Warren. It was basically the same thing that I heard this weekend. She said, in this case, the story for me is Matthew 26. And I'm sure some of you, a lot of you know this story. You know, this is the one where the shepherd is dividing the world into the sheep and the goats. And as we all know, sheep are going to heaven, goats, they're not. And the sheep asked him, why us? Why us, Lord? We look like those guys. And the shepherd, the Lord answers back and says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me water. I was in prison and you visited me, naked and you clothed me. And as much as you have done it to one of these, the least of thy brethren, you have done it to me. And what I hear in that is two things that guide me every day, said Elizabeth Warren. And she says it over and over again in these riffs in her stump speech. It'd be interesting to me to hear when she's being exposed to a wider audience than the politically obsessed, how that lands. One more. Diana in Asbury Park. Hi, Diana. You're on WNYC. We have 1 minute for you.
Hello there. Yes, I don't think I realized I was for Elizabeth Warren until you had people call in to say who you were voting for. I think it all just came together for me right now.
Well, but then you're going to have to wait and hear our Bernie callers coming up next.
Right, true. So the reason that I'm partial towards Elizabeth Warren, I think she's one of those rare people these days who gets presented facts and then makes judgments on facts and not serve feelings or opinions or ideology. And I'm talking about her transition from being a Republican to an independent to a Democrat. And she couldn't deny all this evidence that was coming towards her about personal bankruptcy. And in her research about personal bankruptcy, she realized the system is fixed, it's rigged. And she changed her policy and opinions around the facts and not just opinions and ideology. Mm-hmm.
Diana, thank you so much. And thanks to all of you Elizabeth Warren supporters who've just called in. She's probably been running ahead of all other candidates so far in this audience over the few months we've been focusing on this young race. And again, to reset, we're doing a series of short call-ins this summer for supporters of one candidate at a time. So rather than just the typical, who do you support, you know, and it's kind of scattershot, we're getting more concentrated thoughts about why each candidate has appeal. And even more important, what that says about you and us and what people around here and Americans everywhere are looking for our country right now. We did these call-ins for four different candidates last week. Today, we're inviting Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders supporters, and now it's Bernie Sanders supporters' turn. So obviously, he and Warren are often described as being in the same, quote, lane. And you just heard some of the reasons that people who like Bernie and even voted for him in 2016 are turning to Warren this time. Now, you can tell us why you are not. Why for you, Senator Bernie Sanders is still number one. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Bernie Sanders supporters, it's your turn. Does he have better plans? She has this reputation now, this slogan, I have a plan for that. Does he have better plans? What Bernie proposal do you like most? Maybe I should ask, what in addition to universal health care, Medicare for all? Is he just the original as you see him? Do you think he's more electable against Trump than Senator Warren is? We heard from a few callers there who thought that he's going to be seen as the more volatile one than her going up against Trump. Do you think he'd be more successful getting things through Congress for any reason? Bernie supporters, 212-433-9692. Here are the two of them back to back on reparations. They're a little different on this. Senator Warren first.
The impact of discrimination handed down from one to the next means that today in America, because of housing discrimination, because of employment discrimination, we live in a world where for the average white family has $100, the average black family has about $5. So I believe it's time to start the national, full-blown conversation about reparations in this country.
Why not support reparations?
Well, what do you mean by reparations?
By reparations for slave defense.
I know, but what does that mean exactly?
Money.
Well, I think that right now our job is to address the crises facing the American people and our communities. And I think there are better ways to do that than just writing out a check.
So that was Bernie Sanders on The View. We heard Elizabeth Warren from the CNN town hall. Bernie supporters, it's your turn for the next few minutes on the phones. Why him for 2020? 212-433-9692. Right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, Bernie Sanders supporters, it's your turn. And Steve in rural Maryland, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Oh, great. Well, you know, I'm from New York City, but I've been farming in rural Maryland for the past about 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's been quite a learning experience for me. And I guess in pertaining to the conversation we're having, I just really didn't understand the scope and power of, I guess, Republican politics in rural America and just how much the culture war is influencing, you know, the conversation. And, you know, people down there and from where I've been working, farming and doing agriculture are very monolithic in their support for Donald Trump.
What are you hearing from them as a reason or a central reason?
Well, I'm hearing a lot of messed up stuff that my, you know, progressive personal politics doesn't abide by, but I, you know, in business sense, you have to tolerate it, but they're emboldened. And there's, and the entrenched, you know, affluent, rural, white American, you know, doesn't mm-hmm. have any need for, you know, Elizabeth Warren style politics. And they're most certainly not going to vote for a woman to be president. So,
but they'd vote for Bernie.
Well, see, Bernie represents somebody who's outside of this criticism of Democratic politics. In their perspective, especially, he has integrity. He's an independent. His record stands for itself. He's from a rural state, which, you know, a mm-hmm. lot of progressive voters don't really understand. And his politics and his policies are similar to Democrats in a lot of ways. But he, you know, he is able to escape this Trumpist Republican-Democrat politics. And that's my thought.
Steve, thank you so much. Good luck down there. Call us again. Patrick in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patrick.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Thank you so much for all your work. Your show is terrific.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I've been a strong Bernie supporter since 2015. And I still am now. And I think there are several reasons. Listening to some of the prior calls made me think of other reasons, but I know I don't have all that much time. But, yeah, Bernie has the strong record of clear integrity and a proven track record of really being a fighter for the people, for the working class, for the middle class, and I mean all people of the working and middle class, against the corporate interests. And this is, to me, what is the key right now. Mm-hmm. We need to stop the corporate power interests who have so much sway over so many aspects of life.
Would you contrast him with Warren in this respect in any way?
Well, Warren has come around to a lot of the same positions. Most of her plans, where she says she has a plan, most of those are just versions of policies that she took from Bernie Sanders from before and adapted them to her own, so it's very derivative.
I think she would say she has additional ones than he has, but go ahead.
Yeah, and she also used to be a Republican. She supported Reagan, and she was a Republican up through the 1990s, so that's kind of sketchy in my opinion. But she could be a possible alternative. Mm-hmm. I would accept her if mm-hmm. Bernie doesn't mm-hmm. win. But Bernie clearly has the mm-hmm. strong integrity record of proven track record of fighting for the working people and right. and the middle class against the wealthy corporate interests. And he can inspire a kind of populism to counter the Trump-type populism. Mm-hmm. Trump is a right-wing populist, you know, encouraging racism and bigotry. Bernie can counter that by inspiring a progressive populism. He talks about the political revolution. What he means is an uprising and swelling up of popular support amongst, particularly among people who don't vote. You know, half the people in this country don't vote. And he has the following and the inspiration to inspire a lot more people to come out and vote who didn't vote and get that voter turnout up higher. With a higher voter turnout, which he can inspire, he can win. He has a better chance of winning against Trump than any of these others who are not going to do that.
Patrick, thank you so much. Chris in Bergen County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you? So I've got something that I think is really the key issue between Warren and Sanders. I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but in the 1990s, we joined the WTO, and the WTO is like a deal between the different parts of the world, the oligarchs of the different parts of the world.
You're talking about the World Trade Organization. The United States is a member country, and yes, that was a debate in the Clinton administration regarding the World Trade Organization, also whether to let China into the WTO at that time, which they did. But go ahead.
Services is what changed the most. And the thing is that services basically gives the WTO the ability to change almost all of our internal policies. And one of the things they did was they committed all sorts of services, including financial services. And health insurance is a financial service. And so even though we don't know it, officially, the health care debate was decided 24 years ago. And we're just basically, I don't know how to say this, but this is just an insane situation. We're all being sort of in a simulacrum, as I think it was maybe Baudelaire described it. But basically, because they don't want to tell us this, they're okay. But let me get to Bernie, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the fact that Bernie is saying he represents a revolution would give us an opportunity, if he wins big, to escape this system, which is going to make it impossible for us to fix anything. That's what it's designed to do.
Chris, I'm going to leave it there and get some other voices on here. Here's Jeff in Westchester. Jeff, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, Brian. How are you? I am someone who voted for Obama. I also voted for Trump. I'm Republican, but I'm very independent. I think that there's a bridge that could be tied between the GOP and the Dems when it comes to Bernie. As your other callers have said, the key word integrity. He really has that in ways that the others don't. I think that they can use some of Bernie's ideas in the GOP, if it's pitched properly, to get a few people like myself who are, you know, I voted for Obama, voted for Trump. I'm looking for someone different. And in the area of education, he could bridge the gap. In the area of healthcare, he could also bridge the divide.
Why'd you vote for Trump?
Why? Because I voted for Obama for education. I work in healthcare. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping that he would fix the student loan debt. He pretty much did nothing. So I was looking for an out. But I also work in healthcare, and I think that your listeners should understand that even if Bernie's plan of Medicare for All or healthcare for All, whatever you want to call it, it only opens up access to Medicare for everyone. So the insurance companies are not going away because Medicare only pays 80%. So you're going to need insurance to cover the 20%.
And Jeff, I'm going to leave it there. I gotcha. And we have time for one more, and it's going to be Ann in Park Slope. Hi, Ann. You're on WNYC.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Okay.
I really believed back in 2016 that the country was ready for a populist president, someone who really represented the people. And after the primary, I live in Brooklyn, as you know, and I knew people who were disenfranchised, people who had voted for years, who were suddenly not able to vote. Watching the machinations of the DNCC to disenfranchise Bernie Sanders and his supporters distressed me. And watching a fake populist, Donald Trump, who would just basically say, "Hey, I'll be your populist. Right. I'll be whatever you want."
Stay in the primary. Stay in the primaries, though. Why is Bernie the best person to topple that fake populist?
Because I don't think that his numbers have changed. I don't think his audience has changed. I think, if anything, it has grown. The people who wanted a populist president in 2016 are still poor, disenfranchised, and looking for a populist. And we have the original architect in Bernie Sanders.
Last question, Ann. In in these call-ins that we've just had, one for Elizabeth Warren supporters and one now for Bernie Sanders supporters, and you're going to get the last word on this question. It's a small, unscientific, and I mean thoroughly unscientific, sample, but our callers for Warren were very mixed in terms of gender. Our callers for Bernie were overwhelmingly male. Are you concerned about that in terms of electability?
I am less concerned about the gender gap as I am about the age gap. I think that Bernie Sanders represents a growing number of people who are disenfranchised, and I think they're going to be voting in numbers that we have not seen and cannot anticipate. I'm far less concerned about gender than I am of the age gap.
Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you who called both to support Elizabeth Warren earlier and to support Bernie Sanders. Now we'll continue these call-ins on a candidate-by-candidate basis. I think they've been really interesting. Thank you both. Thank you all for supporting both of those candidates and expressing yourselves around that. Our next guest is going to be the president of Wesleyan University, who has written an interesting book about speech on campus. Stay with us to hear his experience as Wesleyan president and what he's put in his book, and we'll take your call. Stay tuned.